very busy man, but Baruch Hashem, we have him here. So he's able to make it through all the traffic. So just a couple of housekeeping notes. We, between the week before Pesach and probably the week after, we very few soldier bags going out because we're not that many shoppers here. But we're trying to get out 100 bags of gear between now and probably another week and a half.
No, Tuesday we have 100 going out.
We have an LL allocation this Tuesday. So we're looking for everyone to come in and shop for gear so we can get it out, because a lot of guys went back into Gaza and up north. A few different things we have. We have a Moses Kingdom appeal that we're working with organizations in Israel. We've identified minimally 25,000 families that are in desperate need to just take care of the basic Pesach needs. So this year we're asking, of course, think about Israel more than ever before you start spending more speaking dollars here, and more importantly, wherever you plan on going for Pesach. We have this Sunday, we have a panel discussion. It's 19 IDF officers and graduates of the Tabora Leadership Academy. It's a panel, Ari Rakov, Rabbi Ari Schreier, Uri Kaufman. Should be pretty interesting. It starts at 11:30 a.m. to 12:30, right here in the Knesset Center. We have a Simcha Fund, which basically, if you're planning your Simcha, share the Simcha with Israel. So we ask everyone to help sponsor a wedding, a bar mitzvah, on a base or someplace that would help work families in Israel, soldiers in Israel. We are also selling all Israeli wines for Pesach. You can place your orders here. We have order forms. We'll have it right here waiting for you within probably a week before Pesach, if not earlier. What else we have? Anything else? Anyway, and of course, we, as you see on the side here, this is not for soldiers or for families. This is for people to shop. These are all the items that have been donated to us before the war, right after the war started. And it is things that Israel doesn't need or want. So we're asking everyone to just come shop, donate, bring home, Pesach, toothpaste, toothbrushes, formula, which has expiration at some point. So we ask everyone to just tell anyone who's nurse, you know, needs formula for the newborn babies. Please purchase it here, and it's a donation to Israel Knesset Center. Rabbi, I'd like to thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. It is it's quite overwhelming to be here. When you walk into this place, you get a sense of Makom Kadosh in a very different way than you would get when you come into a shul. When you come into a shul, there's a sense of Kedusha, hopefully. There's a sense of Kedusha, but that sense of Kedusha comes from a profound sense of Ben Adam Lamakom. But we know that there are two parts of the mitzvot HaTorah. There are at least two. There are those that are Ben Adam Lamakom and those that are Ben Adam L'Chavero. And we don't really have spaces for Ben Adam L'Chavero so much. And this space, this very holy space, is one that talks to you from every inch of it, that screams Ben Adam L'Chavero. It teaches us and reminds us of just how much love and concern we should have for, and Baruch Hashem, some people do have, for our fellow Jews, and what it means to be part of Am Yisrael, what it means to be part of this wonderful Am HaNivchar that we are Zocha to be a part of. What I decided to speak about, even before being overwhelmed by being here and by seeing everything that is going on over here, is the concept of Ma'os Chitim, but not so much, a little bit on the technical side, but more broadly, more what it's supposed to mean to us, and how it particularly applies in maybe unique ways this year. You know, when we think of the Yom Tov of Pesach, so we think about a lot of things, because it's a very busy Yom Tov. It's a very busy pre-Yom Tov. It's very busy on Yom Tov. There are lots of mitzvos. It's the only Yom Tov the Gemara says explicitly that we're supposed to spend 30 days in advance learning about, because there are so many details. So for some, the focus is, in times of the Beis HaMikdash, it would have been the Karban Pesach. For some, the focus is cleaning up for chametz and kashering and all of those preparations. For some, it's preparing for the Seder. But most often, what we don't think about is the element of Ben Adam L'Chavero within the Yom Tov of Pesach, about the concern and the love that we have to show our fellow Jews within the Yom Tov itself. The Seder night specifically begins with Kol Dichvin, with Kol Ditzrich, where we specifically turn outward before we turn inward to our own family. We speak about anybody else who needs our help, and we invite them. That's how the Seder night begins. The first halacha in Ilchus Pesach. Rabbi says, Shalom V'darshan, you're supposed to start learning Ilchus Pesach 30 days in advance. What's the very first halacha recorded in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach? Well, as you guessed, it will be Shalom V'darshan B'Hilchos HaPesach Lamed Yom Kol D'Mechag. The first halacha they got to learn. The very next halacha, the Ramah comments right there on the spot, Ma'os Chitim, that you should make sure that aniyim have what to eat. You should make sure that we're able to provide tzedakah, that we're able to provide matzahs for those who maybe don't have. And part of the idea is first, just in general, we're always supposed to be thinking about other people. We're always supposed to be thinking about other Jews. But there's more to it than that. Meaning, if we are going to experience a sense of chayrus, we're going to experience what it means to be avadim, and then to go free, we need to appreciate what people who are downtrodden, who are going through a difficult time, we need to appreciate what they are going through. And only in that context can we really have a proper perspective on what we're supposed to be feeling, on what it means to achieve a certain sense of chayrus. This is what they call in psychology the perspective gap. That they've done studies many different examples, but just a common example where doctors who have never experienced the pain of the procedure that they're doing severely underestimate the pain that is felt by the patients in the procedure that they're doing. Because if you haven't experienced it yourself, it's very hard. Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's just going to pinch a little. How many dentists have told you that? It's just going to pinch a little. It doesn't just pinch a little. It hurts like a hanum. But if you don't have that sense of what the person is going through, so then it's very hard to even appreciate. We tend to develop a sense of love for other people when we give to other people. Meaning, anyone who's been involved in great acts of chesed, like the wonderful people that have been involved over here over the past several months, I would venture to guess, and it's not a guess, that their love for Am Yisrael, their love for Eretz Yisrael, has increased exponentially. Now, you would think, no, this chesed is driven by a love for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and that's true. But it feeds itself, and then the more you give, the more you love, and the more you love, the more you give, and the more you give, the more you love, and the more you want to be able to do. And that's what this place represents. So let's talk a little bit about the concept of Ma'os Chitim. You know, this very first halacha in Hilchos Pesach, that we're supposed to take care of other people. We're supposed to make sure that people have matzah for Pesach. What is the basis of this halacha? I think that there are three particular models that one could look at to try to figure out, you know, in Lundus, what the underlying principle of Ma'os Chitim is. Now, the most fundamental and obvious underlying principle is that this is not a new mitzvah. This is a mitzvah that we're very, very familiar with, and it's part of a broader mitzvah that applies every day of the year, and that, of course, is tzedakah, right? That this is just an example of the mitzvah of tzedakah. And that certainly makes a lot of sense, this is just, you know, a way to do tzedakah at this time of year. Perhaps one could argue Matanos Le'Avyonim is a similar type of mitzvah, where at a particular time of year, there's a way to channel tzedakah in a particular direction. And that's certainly a possibility. Of course, if that were true, one would wonder why this appears over here in Hilchos Pesach and does not appear in Hilchos Tzedakah. It doesn't say in Hilchos Tzedakah that you're supposed to give Ma'os Chitim, but, you know, a lot of times the Shulchan Aruch arranges things not based on what its underlying premise is, but based on when it comes out or how it plays out in the practical world. In the practical world, Ma'os Chitim comes out around Pesach time. So right before talking about Pesach, we talk about Ma'os Chitim. But then there are two other possibilities of Ma'os Chitim. You know, the source is a passage in Talmud Yerushalmi. The Ramah quotes a passage in Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Talmud Yerushalmi says that if someone is living in a city for X amount of time, for a particular amount of time, well, then they're obligated in giving the ma'os chitim along with the other members of that city. Then the gabay tzedakah in that city, where they used to have such formal infrastructure in cities, who would be in charge of collecting these things, or who would levy taxes on people. You know, can you imagine that we don't have, rabbis certainly don't have the ability to do that anymore, but it used to be like, oh, how much are you going to spend on Pesach this year? Are you going to a hotel? Oh, which one? Oh, that one? Okay, so let's assume that you're spending X amount of dollars. So I would imagine, you know, you're in the category of a kind of person who would give more than Meiser, you'd probably give Chomesh. So yeah, that's your tax. And they would levy a tax on people to give certain amounts of tzedakah. And it wasn't really just, you know, out of the goodness of my heart. They say that someone once went to Rav Steinman, and they were introducing a very wealthy person to Rav Steinman, and they said, this person, Rav Steinman, this person is a big Baal Tzedakah. And Rav Steinman said, yeah? What percentage? Meaning, they were calling him a big Baal Tzedakah because he gave $1 million a year. Rav Steinman didn't. $1 million a year is not impressive if you're making $100 million a year. He said, what percentage? That's how we measure it. And that's how they would levy taxes on people. And it could be that Mo's Chitim, certainly based on the simple reading of the Yerushalmi, that it comes from living in a community for X amount of time, that it's a tax, that it was a tax on members of the community. That is certainly the implication of the Rama in his Sefer Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour. And that's a second possibility. So far, what do we have? One possibility is that it's just an example of the mitzvah of tzedakah. A second possibility, that it's a tax that's levied on the people of the city to make sure that they're taking care of their aniyim. But I would like to highlight a third possible source or it's more than a source, an underlying premise for the concept of Ma'os Chitim. And that's based on a Rambam, a passage in Rambam which is fairly well known. It should be better known. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav, Halach Yud Zayin V'Halach Yud Ches. I'm going to read to you the Lashon of the Rambam because it is so, so critical, and also because otherwise I'm not going to remember what he says. So, Shivas Yimei HaPesach. He says, the 7 days of Pesach, Ushmonas Yimei HaChag, and the 8 days of Sukkis, V'shar Im Shar Yomim Tovim, Kulam Asurim Behesped of Titus. Together with all other Yom Tovim, you're not allowed to give eulogies, you're not allowed to fast. V'chayev Adam Lehanos Behen, Sameach V'Tov Lev. And a person should go through these Yom Tovim with a sense of joy, with a sense of gladness of heart. Hu ubanav v'ishto ubnei beso. These are family times. These are times that one is supposed to spend with their spouse, with their children, with the members of their household. V'kol anil v'malav. That's what Yom Tov is. Yom Tov is supposed to be spent together with family. One of my rebbeim in yeshiva, Rav Mordechai Willig, when Bachrim would ask him if they can come to his house for Purim Suda, if they had a family to go to, he would say no. He would say, you belong with your family. So Purim, maybe not. I would argue Purim that, you know, it's not so lebedik always with the family. You know, some of the Bachrim say, it feels like Thanksgiving when I'm with my family. I'd rather be dancing around the table with my drunk friends. Okay, but when it comes to Yom Tovim, that's a person supposed to spend with family. Shenemar, v'samachta b'chagecha. Pasuk says, v'samachta b'chagecha. Afal pisha simcha amura kan hi korban shlomim, kmo shanu mevarin bilchus chagiga, yesh bechlal osa simcha l'smachu ban b'nei beso kol echad v'echad kara'ui lo. That even though technically the method of simcha that the Torah had in mind is to bring karbanos, nowadays we do whatever we can to bring simcha to all members of our family. The Gemara at the end of Pesachim tells us, Anashim b'roi lehem, v'nashim b'roi lehem, men should indulge in those things that make them happy, whether it's basar and yayin, women should indulge in those things that make them happy, new clothing and the like, and children with the things that make them happy, klayos ve'egozim, which really means like roasted nuts, but nowadays your kid would throw it right back in your face, candies, I guess it would mean nowadays, right? So everyone with things that make them happy. Then the Rambam says the next halacha, ketzad. So he goes through how each category of people, what they enjoy. And he talks about the men with the meat and the wine and the women with the clothing and the children with the candies and the nuts. And then he writes, ukeshu ochel v'shosa. And when a person is eating and drinking, chayav lahachil lager layasom v'lalmana imshar ha'aniyim humlalim. One is obligated. Now, keep in mind where the Rambam is saying this. He's not talking about the dinim of tzedakah. He's not talking about the dinim of taxes that we impose on anybody. He's not talking about general obligations of the Yom Tov. This is a very targeted and specific Rambam. He is talking about how to be happy. He's talking about how to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. And what does he say? How does one do this? You do all these things, but make sure while you're doing it, you also include the gerim, yesomim, almanos, the people who don't have families, or the people whose families are incomplete, nebuch, the number of people who are going to be having a missing seat at their table, at their Seder table this year. We include those people who are struggling. Aval misha noel dalsos chatzero. If someone closes off the doors of his chatzer, and this could be speaking literally, but it can also be speaking, and probably even more so, metaphorically, that someone closes off the doorways of his chatzer, v'ochel, v'shoseh, hu, ubana, v'ishto, and he enjoys, and he has a party with his family, with his wife, with his children, v'eino machil u'mashkela aniyim u'lumari nefesh, and he doesn't take care of other people, ein zu simchas mitzvah, el simchas kreso. The Rambam says, I'm telling you a halacha, you are not mekayim the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. You can have the biggest smile on your face, you can be eating the best foods in the world. If you didn't include other people, if you didn't take care of other people, if you didn't open up your door, open up your heart to other people, that is not the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. The mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, by definition, requires that we take care of other people. And he brings sources from Psukim. So I think what emerges very clearly from the Rambam is a third underlying theme of Ma'os Chitim. That Ma'os Chitim, the idea that we have a min hakoron shulchan aruch, a din that's the first din in Hilchos Pesach, it's not only a din in tzedakah, it's not only a din in a tax that's levied upon a community, it is a din in Simchas Yom Tov. It's how a person is meant to experience Simchas Yom Tov. In fact, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, has a remarkable comment. The Vilna Gaon writes that, you know, if you look at the pasuk, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, Ubiyom Ashvi Chagla Hashem, Matzos Yeochel E Shivas Hayamim. Seems a little repetitive. For 7 days you should eat matzah, and on the seventh day will be a Chag LaHashem, will be a day of Yom Tov. And by the way, you should eat matzahs for 7 days. And the Gra notes three things about this pasuk. Number one, he says, why do you have to tell me twice that you're supposed to eat matzahs for 7 days? It's repetitive, and we know that the Torah does not waste a single letter, let alone a word or a sentence. Problem number two, he says, if you look very carefully, the first time it says, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, you should eat matzos. The next time it says, Matzos Ye'ochel, matzos should be eaten. What do you mean, should be eaten? They get eaten if I eat them. If I don't eat them, they don't get eaten. Why is it in the passive form rather than in the active form? In the Lashon Nif'al, as if it's happening to somebody rather than an action that somebody's doing. Third, says the Gra, Matzos Harishon Chaser Vav, Vasheni matzos malei. The Gra notices that the first time it says matzos, but it's spelled in the Torah, mem tzadi taf, no vav. It's written chaser. The second time it says matzos, mem tzadi vav taf. It's written malei. Why the difference? Says the Vilna Gaon, brilliant. He says, mikan remez leminag hamuva behagos harama liknos chitim lechalkal naniim letzarech pesach. This is a remez to Ma'os Chitim. How is it a remez to Ma'os Chitim? So he says, "V'yinei barishon tziva lekal echad miYisrael al achilas matzah bePesach." First, the Torah starts out by telling us, guess what? You have a mitzvah to eat matzah. You got to have a gezayis of matzah on the night of the Seder. We have a requirement to eat matzah. V'zeo shamar, shivas yamim tochal matzos. That's why he says, you should eat, tochal, active, eat. You eat matzos. Ratzalomer ata be'atzmacha, meaning we ourselves. Umulvad chiyuv chalatzmacha, but aside from your own chiyuv toward yourself, musar ata lishtadel viliros shematzos ye'achel es shivas hayamim. That matzos get eaten for all 7 days. Says the Gra, that's referring to our responsibility to make sure that all 25,000 families that Jeff was referring to before have matzos that they are able to eat. That's our responsibility to make sure that others have matzos yeochel. And he says, now I can answer all three questions. Where did we start? What were the three questions? Why does it say the same thing twice? It's not the same thing. One is a mitzvah to eat, the other is a mitzvah to make sure others eat. Second question was, why does it say it in the active the first time and in the nif'al the second time? Well, very simply, because the first time it's telling me what I'm supposed to do, the second time it's telling me that I need to make sure others are able to do. And he says, and that answers the third question as well. And here's the kicker for the Grah. He says, the first time it says matzos chaser, without the vav. The second time it says matzos male, with the vav. Why the difference? Because when I'm taking care of myself, it could be chaser a little bit. I can take care of myself less than top notch. It doesn't have to be the very best. I can make sure I have a kazayas of matzah. But I cannot settle for other people. When I'm taking care of other people, I can't settle on anything less than malay, anything less than the fullest measure, than the greatest amount that I can provide for them. And that's what the Gra says, that's what those psukim are teaching us. So again, we have three possible models of what Mo's chitim represents. Either regular tzedakah, an example of regular tzedakah, or a tax on the community, on the people, or a way of experiencing a sense of simcha on Yom Tov, that we can only experience simcha when we provide for others. There may be significant nafkaminas, there may be significant practical differences between these three understandings of Mo's chitim. One practical difference might be, are you yotze with money? I mean, I would imagine that if you were to ask most aniyim, what would you prefer? They'll take money. Would you like wheat or money? Money, money's good. Money, I'll figure out what to do with it. If I need wheat, I'll buy it. Thank you very much. Right? So if it's a mitzvah tzedakah, then of course money's the best way to, you know, it's the best way to give tzedakah. But if it's a specific tax, maybe a specific tax was only levied on wheat. That that was the nature of that tax that they levied on the people. If it's about simcha, okay, then it's debatable exactly what the best way to fulfill that mitzvah of simcha. Because when I give matzah, I know that what I've given them. I can envision in my mind what the person is doing with it. If I give money, I have no idea what they're doing with it. So I don't know if it brings the same simcha. You know, I could have given money and they pay, you know, and a person who needs it is paying last month's electric bill with the money, right? Which I don't know if that brings me or not. Or they could be that they did anything with the money, or they could have lost the money. It could be anything. But when I give matzah, when I give chitim, I know exactly what they're doing with it. So one could argue that it brings a certain greater sense of simcha when you know exactly who it's going to. You know, why do we find it so gratifying when a chayal, together with his whole group of chaverim, sends a video back, you know, oh, we're loving the barbecue, we're loving this, and we thank you for the gloves, thank you for the boots, thank you for the, right? Why do we find that so gratifying? Because we see the direct results of our efforts. We see that that's how it's being used, and that makes us feel great and makes us want to do more. But maybe that simcha is only experienced when it's so detailed. Another possible nafkamina: what if a person themselves doesn't have enough? They don't have kidei parnasaso. They don't have what to eat. So the halacha is to be able to buy your own Shabbos and Yom Tov meals. A person is supposed to even borrow money. So Gemara Maseches Beitza tells us of their discusses. Unusual. We normally do not encourage people to go into debt in order to be able to accomplish things within Yiddishkeit. Right? Meaning we do not suggest that people go into debt for almost anything. We're not big fans of being in debt. This resonates with me a lot. I only got a credit card last year for the first time. My wife made me get one. She told me there's a thing called points and you're really supposed to do this. And I'm like, I really don't like it. I don't like spending money. That's not, you can tell I'm the son of an accountant. But we're not big fans of going into debt. For Shabbos, for Yom Tov, you're supposed to go into debt to pay for Shabbos and Yom Tov. not to pay for fancy chasanas, not to pay for Shabbos and Yom Tov. A person is supposed to go into debt. In order, I mean, for Shabbos meals, Yom Tov meals, I don't mean to go to the Doral or whatever. I mean, you know, right? A person is supposed to go into debt to be able to achieve these things. Now, if a person themselves is an ani and they don't have kedei parnasasa, do you think they're going to levy a tax on the person? Probably not, right? Probably the gabbai tzedakah will say no tax for this person. He's not going to have to pay. Is his obligation in tzedakah that he's going to have to provide matzahs for other people? He doesn't even have for himself. He's going to provide for other people. An obligation in tzedakah? Probably not. Aniyim do have to give tzedakah, but a very tiny amount of tzedakah, just to make sure that there's some giving. Every Jew has to have some amount of giving in their lives. I often tell Talmidim who are being supported fully by their parents, they often ask, do we give miser on the money that our parents are giving us to support us? So the answer, I think, is no, not unless you speak it over with your parents. But I always say it's worth having a conversation with your parents about the idea that you want to continue, you want to learn how to be a giver, and therefore to keep exercising that muscle to give, to, that you should have the right to give X amount of dollars to tzedakah a month. Whatever it might be. Small amount, a nominal amount, just so that one day, God willing, when you make money, you will not have forgotten what it's like to give. You will have, like the Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnayos, that it's a muscle that can atrophy if you don't use it a lot. It's a very important muscle. What if a person doesn't have kedei parnasasa, doesn't have enough to support himself, and we're looking for Simchas Yom Tov? The purpose of Moos Chitim is for Simchas Yom Tov. It could be that he would have to borrow even for that. Meaning, if you're going to tell me that in order to experience my own Simchas Yom Tov, I need to give to others, and without that, I don't have a Simchas Yom Tov, it would turn out that not only do I have to borrow to be able to support myself, to be able to have food to eat for myself, I might have to borrow a little extra so that I can also provide for somebody else. So that would be a second potential nafkamina between these three reasons. A third potential nafkamina is whether there's a maila of matan b'seser. Is it better to give secretly, or is it better not to give secretly? Right? By tzedakah, it's a great, great maila, matan b'seser. By simcha, maybe not. Maybe it will give me greater simcha when I know exactly who I gave it to. And I can sense, I see the smile on the face in the video I get back from the person. We've had this in this amazingly tiny global community of the Jewish people. It gives us so much chiyus. When we see where our money is going, when we see where our efforts are going, when we see the people who are being impacted or being affected, it provides a certain gratification, a certain simchas yom tov. Now, that's the lamdisha part, right? The idea of Moos Chitim, that Moos Chitim represents one of three possibilities, but with a highlight perhaps on that third element, that it represents a sense of simcha, and that when one gives, one feels a certain sense of simcha. I want to share with you two more points, two, maybe three more points. Point number one is a comment that the Klei Yakar has in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, of the Klei Yakar. I don't know if he wrote his own Haggadah Shel Pesach or they just collated from other places. The Klei Yakar notes something highly unusual about every time, almost every time, the Torah tells us to give to other people. Klei Yakar points out it's almost always in a double lashon, a double expression. Aser, ta'aser. Nason, titein. Pasoach, tiftach. Es yadecha. Ha'aveit, ta'avitenu. It's always in the double lashon. And he says, and it's an amazing thing, the schar is doubled as well. Kivarech yivarechecha. And he writes that's why when we start the Seder, we don't just say kol dichvin, we also say kol ditzrich. Because we want to make sure that we're very clear that when we're giving to others, everything is double. The bracha is double. The sense of gratification is double. The sense of connectedness is double. That when a person is able to take care of other people, it's ben adam l'chaveru and ben adam l'makom all at once. How's that ben adam l'makom? Every ben adam l'chaveru is also ben adam l'makom. You know, it's an amazing thing when we talk about the darkei tshuva, the way to do do tshuva for different averos. So you would think that there are two paths. Beidon l'makom, you do the vidoy and the whatever, and the charata and the kabbalah l'asid. When it comes to beidon l'chaver, you ask mechila. That's not exactly how it is. When it comes to beidon l'makom, yeah, the vidoy and the charata and the kabbalah l'asid and all that stuff. When it comes to beidon l'chavero, all that plus ask mechila. Why all that plus? I would think Beidon l'chavero is just only ask mechila, deal with chavero. That's the person that I sinned toward. That's the person that I need to ask mechila from. No, but what it's highlighting for us is every Beidon l'chavero is Beidon l'makom, because we have the recognition, the idea, the knowledge to the obvious fact that every Jew that we help is a child of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, if someone helps my child is looking for a job or something, and someone makes a connection for him and gets him the job, I call up that person, and I say, thank you so much for helping. Why am I thinking of helping my child? Because there's no greater chesed you could do to somebody than helping their child. And everyone is the Ribbono Shel Olam's child. Everyone, or every Jew, is a child of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's always been on the makom. Every been on the chaver has been on the makom. Anytime you're helping another Jew, pasach, tiftach, you're opening up your hand to another Jew, and you're opening up your hand to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all connected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees all of us as his children. You know, there's a comment that one of the Achronim has, that there's a medrash that says there's a gemara rather that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kohen. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be a kohen. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kohen. So the gemara asks, really? So he became tameh when he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. How did he become tahar from that tumah after burying Moshe Rabbeinu? It's so interesting that the Gemara, it's an odd question. Like, what mikvah fits God, right? How did he get, and Tosfos on the spot says, that's what you're bothered by? How did he become tahar after burying Moshe Rabbeinu? Wouldn't you be more bothered by, how did he bury Moshe Rabbeinu in the first place? You know, how did he become tameh? Why was he burying Moshe Rabbeinu? You know what Tosfos says? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is his son. A kohen is allowed to be metameh to his son. You could be metameh to Zion Krovim, to your seven relatives. So of course he's allowed to become tameh. The question is, what mikvah fit him? So the Gemara says that it was a mikvah of fire, not a mikvah, again, whatever that means. I don't know what any of it means. But unbelievable, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are really banim l'makom. And we're specifically banim l'makom when we're osin ritzon l'shel makom, when we do that which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do. And that's what the Gemara says, that we're nikra avadim and we're nikra banim. We're called avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're called banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the kavanah, maybe, you know, avadim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, yeah, we were also avadim, in a certain sense, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, rather than banim, at a certain point in time, when we weren't doing the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the more that we do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we become banim l'makom. So every ben al machver, every time we help another Jew, it's also ben al makom. It goes hand in hand. And then there's the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi has a comment in his drushos, in Drush Tzayin, where he talks about this concept of Moos Chitim, and he writes that the ultimate Geula is going to happen in a similar way to Geulas Mitzrayim. How did Geulas Mitzrayim happen? It happened when we didn't deserve it, but there were a few key zechuyos that got us out. We didn't, begadol, we didn't deserve it. We were not living perfectly Torah observant, you know, lives that Kadosh Baruch Hu would normally be proud of. But there were a few key zechuyos that got us out. Dam Pesach, Dam Mila, whatever those zechuyos were. Says the Beis Halevi, the Geula Ha'asidah comes in the same way, or might come in the same way. Even if we don't deserve it, but we target a few key zechuyos, a few types of merits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just mean a little bit more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't turn away from. And Beis Halevi particularly identifies Moos Chitim. He says, because when Jews take care of each other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't ignore that. So as long as the Jewish people are taking care of each other, that's how we achieve Geula. You know, we have so many things to daven for. We have so much when we come to a time of spiritual elevation, a time of Pesach, which is a time of spiritual elevation, there's so much. Times of spiritual elevation are times where our tefillos should be enhanced. We should be thinking about things on a deeper level, where we take stock of everything going on in our lives and everything going on in the Jewish people. And when we think about the birth of a nation, we think about how Klal Yisrael started, we also not only have to think about our history, but remember how the Seder ends with Lashana Abab Yerushalayim. We have to think about the destiny of Klal Yisrael. And there's something about that. When you think about the destiny, you think about the end game, you think about where you're going, you can't help but think how you're going to get there. I remember when I was teaching in DRS High School many years ago, I had asked as an extra credit question on a test, describe your life in 15 years from now. I don't know, I was just bored. It's very boring to grade tests, but it's much more entertaining to read those answers. A lot of kids knew that answer. They didn't know the answer to any of the other questions. So describe your life, what it's going to look like in 15 years from now. So one Talmud who was going through some serious, serious struggles, religiously, emotionally, and he described, like, you know, his wife and his kids, and he's going to be a Magid Shir Daf Yomi, and he's going to, like, this amazing, and he's going to be a big Bal Tzedakah, and he's going to be a surgeon, and he's going to be, and I'm like, I just said, that's an awesome picture. So what do you do now that gets you there, right? What in order to get to the goal, you know, you have to have a plan to get there. So we could sing all we want, Lashana Abab Yerushalayim. How do we get there? How do we get to Lashana Abab Yerushalayim? And the path is pretty clear. Chazal tell us why we had a Beis HaMikdash destroyed. Was because the second Beis HaMikdash was because of Sinas Chinam. So we have a pretty clear path. The clear path is with a lot of Avas Yisrael. I always recommend, I heard from Rabbi Reisman a while ago, and it made a tremendous impact on me, that it's kedai each year, each 6 months, take like 3 words of Shemona Esrei and like make those your words of Shemona Esrei. Whatever else I'm thinking about throughout the rest of Shemona, these words I'm going to focus on. This is going to be my thing. Where did he get it from? Because he was once davening with Rav Eliyashiv Zichrono Livracha. And Rav Eliyashiv davened Shemona Esrei, the silent Shemona Esrei, pretty loudly because he was old. It was hard for him to hear. He's supposed to be able to daven loud enough that you could hear it, but nobody else could. So Rav Eliyashiv davened loud enough that he could hear it, but everyone else could also. So Rav Reisman was davening next to Rav Eliyashiv, and Rav Eliyashiv, you know, the Rav Eliyashiv davened pretty quickly, a litvish Shemona Esrei. You know, it wasn't a slow Shemona Esrei. But then, for 3 words, he slowed down and got super intense. Hamachazir Shchinaso Letzion. So just think about that. What it means that the Shechina can come back to Tzion. Think about the tsaros that end when the Shechina comes back to Tzion. And again, I'm just overwhelmed to be in this Makom Kadosh, where this is the path. This is the path. This is how we get Hamachzir Shechinas Tzion. This is how we get Bila Mavas LeNetzach. This is how we get the Kohanim Bavodasim Levim B'Duchanim. This is how we get Klal Yisrael Yoshuim B'Tuchim Ba'artzam, that we're going to be able to live in our land in safety and in security, with joy and with the Simchas Yom Tov, and with every level of Simcha, the Simcha that we have and in the things that we enjoy, and the higher level of Simcha in allowing others to enjoy and in celebrating together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.